Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to NBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grind some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network on a fabulous Thursday evening here inside the studio, or as we say around here, last show, best show. Got a lot of content that comes out on this network Monday through Sunday. Thursday nights are our favorite. We get to have fun. It's our last opportunity to come in here and fire off some takes as a fire weekend of college football comes again. I haven't used fire as an adjective like that in a fat minute. That felt really,
it's
really
kind of getting phased out.
That felt really, what would the kids say, cringe? I felt really cringe just now. We got a great one for you, unless it doesn't happen here on a Thursday. We got Rate the Predictions here on a Thursday. And of course, we've got Final Thoughts here on a Thursday and much, much more. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button, okay? Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Like, subscribe, rate, review. A lot of options here on a Thursday night. A lot of opportunities for people to go elsewhere. Let's make sure they find us, all right? We always like to use Thursday as an opportunity to get put in front of new people, right? Everyone that has a subscription has a lot of options to go places right now. Let's find those new people right now. And the only way we can do that is firing off in that chat and making sure we got a lot of those thumbs up buttons. So go ahead and hit that thumbs up right now. All right, let's get after it. We always start with the news around here, if you can call it that. Luke Fickell got the old, we ain't firing you yet.
Maybe we change the name of this of, we can't hire anybody else.
Oh, I like this. I like this. Instead of the, like the death sentence of approval death sentence basically, we'll change this to the, we ain't got no options.
Yeah. I always do this as,
you ain't cheating, so you ain't got to leave just yet.
Yeah.
But you're kind of a bum that's sleeping on my couch. You better go pay some bills and make some money.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say this is more of the kiss of death for the following season of, we believe in you for now. We love you for now. You are staying with us now, but next year, the first chance we get, we are firing you. Billy Napier had the same thing.
So other than a whole pack of Badgers that is Russell Wilson, the only famous Wisconsin fan slash alum that I know of is Big Cat on Barstool, and pardon my take.
Didn't J.J. Watt go to Wisconsin?
I mean, yeah, but I don't think J.J. Watt's got, like, I don't know if he really cares about Wisconsin football. And, by the way, whole pack of Central Michigan to Wisconsin right there. That ain't, like, born and bred Wisconsin guy. Now, T.J. Watt did.
Russell Wilson was NC State to
That's
Wisconsin.
What I'm saying. I said whole pack of Badgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, there's not a lot of homegrown, true, like, I bleed Badger red
right
out there in the world. And the only outspoken guy I know of about Badger football is Big Cat.
Yeah.
He is obviously not very happy about this. The athletic director basically was asked, what is the new definition of, like, how do you judge success? And his answer basically had nothing to do with wins and losses. It was a whole bunch of way of saying, like, we got to play tighter football games. Mm-hmm. And we just got to not be a laughing stock. And that's not, the standard for Wisconsin football is 8-4 for me. 8-4 with the occasional 1-5 year, 10-2. Mm-hmm. That's Wisconsin football for me.
Yeah.
I don't know about what it is for you guys. Is that unfair?
No, I don't think so.
Like, dude, they're getting out recruiting the state of Wisconsin right now by Minnesota.
Shiny.
Like, for the big boys, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
For, like, the big, heavy offensive line, defense lineman that program is predicated off of. Now, he did not help himself with start basically punting for the first 2 years. We've talked about this. That identity of that football program offensively did not match what Wisconsin should be. They were trying to be air raid at Wisconsin. Uh-uh. That's like trying to run the triple option at Ohio State. Like, it makes no sense. That there's that. I don't know what to think about this other than I guess Wisconsin will be open next year.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's shaping up that way.
All right. Maybe he pulls one out. I don't know how. What are they recruiting? There is no way on God's green earth Wisconsin is inside the top 40 in 2026 recruiting. There's no way. If they are, I'll shut up. We'll keep it pushing on Luke Fickell. We'll wait for that payoff.
They are 63rd.
Yeah, he got to go. He got to go. Because guess what? You know what it would cost to make them relevant immediately? A whole bunch of portal acquisitions, which costs money. Yes. A whole lot of money. Very weird. Also, is it worth talking about? I mean, we didn't put it in the show notes, but, I mean, obviously, Josh Pate just linked Lincoln Riley to LSU.
Or linked him to potentially somewhere.
Yeah, he didn't link. He didn't really like.
If you're leaving USC, no offense, Florida Gator fans watching today, you're not leaving USC for Florida. You leave USC for LSU?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean, I just like.
If you're leaving Oklahoma, you're not leaving it for USC. You're leaving it for LSU.
Say what now?
If you're going to leave Oklahoma, you're leaving it for LSU, not USC.
What are you talking about?
Which is exactly what he did when he left Oklahoma.
What'd you just say?
If you are going, if you're going to leave Oklahoma,
yeah,
you'd leave it for LSU, not USC.
No,
that's my
USC is a better program than Oklahoma. It's a better job than Oklahoma.
If you're going to leave Oklahoma, you would take LSU over USC. Is my point. My whole point is, I don't think this guarantees that Lincoln Riley is going to LSU.
I'm just very. Where would he go then if he's leaving USC? Which is what Josh Pate indicated. Where would he go?
There's plenty of great job openings right now. There's Florida.
That are better than USC?
He would. I don't know. I mean.
That's for him to determine,
that's
I
for,
guess.
That's for Lincoln Riley to determine. I would have said that LSU's a better job than USC when he took it.
I would rank it LSU, take an NFL job, Florida. In terms of possibilities.
Well, either way, it's never been officially linked that Lincoln Riley was listed as a potential or has been rumored to go to LSU. I think the only thing that's coming up this was Josh Pate said, keep an eye on Lincoln Riley and USC.
And I think
that's what I'm saying. That could only mean like one or two things.
Which I know that LSU maybe not the most honest athletic department, considering that they said they were going to wait to hire an AD after they hired a football coach. They've already hired their AD. They chose the interim. So that's already one thing that they haven't stood 10 toes down on. But, I mean, they did say that they did not want to pour a whole bunch of money into their next head coach. I would imagine you would have to stroke a pretty large check to get Lincoln Riley to come to LSU. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger thing here is, we keep getting in this conversation of, like, is Lane Kiffin actually going to go or is he going to stay? If Lane Kiffin stays... If Dillingham stays, if Drinkwitz stays, if Matt Rhule's already staying, like if all these guys elect to stay with their current program, who's to say one of these other programs doesn't say, hey, Lincoln Riley, just name your price, dude. Like, name your price. What would it take to get you out of USC? I think he'd be crazy. He has one of the best recruiting classes that he has right now since he's got there.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of money on that general manager out there that seems to be part of the reason why they have so much momentum right about now. It seems like they finally have things aligned at USC. Right? From a recruiting acquisition standpoint, they have a defensive pulse, right? Offensive future with a song Longstreet at quarterback. It would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
But when he mentioned that at the end of that podcast yesterday and tweeted it out, it was like, oh, well, he's obviously talking about LSU.
I didn't take it as that at all.
I don't know. It very well could. I'm just saying.
It's just something to keep an eye on of Lincoln Riley. I mean, he could go to the NFL for a while. Like that was
yeah,
the
maybe
rumor.
It's a USC might become open.
Yeah, I think that's also – that was more the
you mentioned another – sorry to cut you off, Kirby. You mentioned another football coach in the midst of your, hey, all these guys are staying. Kenny Dillingham interrupted all of his position meetings yesterday, walked in, said, hey, by the way, guys, I'm going to be here next year, so whatever you're hearing right now about me maybe going to Auburn, it's fugazi. Let's go back to work.
And that immediately got hit with the, let's not forget Nick Saban once said he wasn't taking the Alabama job.
Yeah, to the media, though.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, it wasn't in front of your own players.
Hey, Bobby P left letters in the Falcons lockers.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I mean, all back
in the day when you had to – well, you think they printed them out? Did they have, like, wholesale, like,
I'm
print
sure
out 100 copies of this?
I'm sure they did.
You think so?
I would be shocked if Bobby
Petrino – Bobby P was sending out handwriting all of them, highlight out it.
I don't think Bobby Petrino wrote 53 personalized handwritten letters.
No.
No.
Probably not.
No.
Can't see that one
probably
happening.
Didn't even sign him.
Yeah. But no, I guarantee you at the top it said, dear player. Didn't even say the deer
to whom
name.
It may concern.
Yeah.
Rise up.
Oh, man. The amount of people that fell for the Silverfield cat from Memphis going to Arkansas today. The amount of people that fell for that fake
news story. It was weird because it first got reported that he was like the favorite to do so.
Yeah, by an actual reporter.
Yeah.
Which this is a weird thing. I think it's because a lot of these reporters are also now like, I'm pretty sure Brent is sponsored by BetGM.
Yeah.
BetMGM, because he works with On3.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a mutual alignment of reporters now reporting on gambling odds of next job openings, which is very peculiar. It seems like that reporter is reporting, but he's really not. He's just reporting the lines that Vegas has now put out.
Right.
Which I have no earthly idea how these Vegas folks put out betting lines on coaching candidacies.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Honest to God, I trust the message boards better. I trust the flight trackers better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. I was going to say, I think head coaching odds are one of the few instances where it's not, I got to trust Vegas here. It's one of the few things where it's, I don't really trust Vegas in that scenario.
Mm-mm.
It's more so like, let's get a gauge on what the media say.
You hit the nail on the head, though, with the, I wonder who these guys are going to hire, because, like, it was getting to a point where it felt like Kenny Dillingham was the star child that they wanted to hire out there in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like, ain't going out there.
I'm okay.
Now they've you know what they've done? Now they've turned to Eli Drinkwitz. Hey, he was here as a quarterback coach that one time with Cam Newton. Yeah, let's do that. Tigers. You know, he'll go from the Missouri Tigers to the Auburn Tigers. Mm. Don't see it?
I could see it, but.
Would you leave Missouri for Auburn?
Not,
boy, I gotta take this. Going to take the folks in Cuomo off today.
Not in the state those programs
are. Not for
are
security
in.
Purposes.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't want to schmooze those Auburn boosters. I don't think I'd be very good at that.
I don't know. Drinkwitz seems like a good hang, though.
Yeah, well, for that kind of crowd, I would imagine.
He seems like a good hang.
You think his camo cargo shorts and Crocs will fit in at the white tent tailgate down there?
I'm sure there's a lot of Auburn fans that love them some camo.
Yeah, dude, Auburn
fans love. I didn't see a scent of or a lick of camo down there in Auburn land.
Well, to be fair, usually not something you wear in public a whole lot, but
I'm sure it wouldn't be.
Brother, the folks who wear camo all the time.
I mean,
how are you going to see it if they are wearing camo, though? I thought the whole point of camouflage was you can't see it.
All right. We taking peaks this weekend, boys.
Let's take some peaks.
Hey, I want to take a minute to make sure you are hitting that thumbs up button. And do you want to, we'll take a minute later for our friends over at Sleeper. All right, that's a double shout down or a double shout out to our friends over at Sleeper. They get name shout out now, and they'll get promo code Brooke shout out a little bit later. Double shouts to the friends over at Sleeper. What are you guys taking a peek at this weekend? These are college football playoff impactful storylines that you're paying close attention to. For example, I'm paying very close attention to how Dante Moore looks this weekend against Iowa. Didn't look great against Indiana. It's looked good in some slop, you know, against Rutgers. And then I think they played, Wisconsin in a rainstorm out there at the home field in Autzen. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what he looks like on the road this weekend against an Iowa defense that is predicated on confusion, right? Mm-hmm. Predicated on you're not trusting what you're seeing, or better yet, even making you compete into tight windows when you do trust what you're seeing, right? So very curious to see what that looks like. And I think whether or not they win, if they win with him looking not necessarily confident, I don't know how I feel about their future prospects. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because
mm-hmm. right. we're 13 games in, or, you know, at this point we're going to be, what, 10 games in this weekend and like a good 17 games into his starting career if you date back to all the UCLA stuff. So we're getting a much larger sample size now. And there's not a lot of sample size against quality opponents. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'll be very, very curious to see what this looks like this weekend.
I'm going to be taking a peek at Florida versus Kentucky because I just want to.
Me too.
I want to see how Florida's going to do this. Have you seen this? Have you seen the injury report?
Both injury reports.
Four starting wide receivers, Brooks, out. Who the heck are you going to throw the ball to? I want to see how they're about to do this. I want to see how either of these programs are going to do this.
Boy, it's going to be the Michael Sturdivant show, John.
It just might be. So I want to see what this freaking looks like for these programs.
Jay, well, you and I had the exact same note about this. That injury report is fat, not just for Florida, for both of these
both
teams.
Yeah, both sides.
It's gonna, we're going to go out there and see, like, who is playing right now? What is the roster? Everyone talks about, you know, college football fans, it's hard to know which players are playing for your team now because there's so much overturn. It's going to damn sure feel that way if you're a Kentucky or a Florida fan, because half of the roster is going to be sitting on the sidelines nursing wounds.
You know who's got some Saban in them? Got a little Kirby in him.
Who?
That boy, Kirk Cignetti. Have you read a Kirk Cignetti quote with regards to injury reports?
No.
Oh, he got a tweak. He got an ankle. So and so got some lungs. So and so's got an ear. You know, what's Elijah Surratt going through, Coach? Oh, you know, he was limited last game. Didn't have a single catch last week for this football team. He's got a tweak.
This is the way.
We're expected to get him back. We're hopeful, you know, got a tweak. So I'm very curious to see what's going on with Elijah Surratt this week. I've been talking about it a good bit, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they skull-drug Maryland last week with no Surratt. Mm-hmm. He was on the field but didn't get a touch.
It is going to be interesting. I also have that as I'm taking a peek at. What does that offense look like against, while have not been a good opponent this season, a formidable roster in Penn State? So I'm taking a peek there as well. What does that offense look like? Another team I'm taking a peek at, or another game I'm going to take a peek at, is this Clemson and Florida State game.
You keep hyping this one.
I'm interested.
You keep coming
in this
back
one.
To this. What's
I
up
said
with
I
you?
Was going
to
take a peek at this one.
Did you hate watching?
I think it's a very even matchup at this point of the season. It's an even matchup of two bad teams.
You're uni watching is what you're doing. Those are two bad football teams that have good program brands.
Right. That's why it's interesting. That's
I'm just
I'm
Dabo
a peek
crash out watching at this
oh,
point. That's
so
what
you
I'm
are
hoping
hate
for.
Watching.
I don't know if I classify that as hate watching, but watching Dabo Sweeney get red face, kind of funny to watch.
It will be interesting just to see how bad the quality of football is.
Because, like, Dabo Sweeney in this moment, like, as we've seen, like, he is very emotional and he is very vocal about his feelings about how things are going right now. Mike Norvell, on the other hand, he just kind of stands there with his arms crossed and is like, just got to get to next year. Just got to keep going.
So the last Miami home game was, I think, the Stanford game at home.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
That aligned with our bye week. So I'm sitting in here just mainlining football. Just got it up all over the place. What?
No, give your take. I want to give one after this.
I mean, I'm mainlining football. And I'm looking up, and it's 7-7, Miami and Stanford at the half. And they go to show Carson Beck and the Miami Hurricanes running into the half. And I look up, and I see more turquoise in that stadium than anything else. And if y'all don't know Hard Rock Stadium, the seats are turquoise or whatever that dolphin blue is, whatever that – I'm not right. Color palette strong, whatever that is. All I see is that. There had to have been – 10,000 people there, 12,000 people there. And I had Sunday reaction show the next day. I immediately wrote down, no wonder they come out snoozing all the time. They ain't got a damn home field advantage worth a damn. Guys, this is a 28.5 point spread against a lax bro led Syracuse Orange team, Orangeman team. Over under 14,000 people that are going to be in this stadium.
I'm going to go over that. I think you'll get half capacity.
I'm going to take a peek.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a peek at
look.
Just how ugly and gruesome. My question is, apart from taking them out on the town Friday night and getting them belligerently drunk as a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, what do you do on a recruiting visit at Miami?
I have no
honest
idea.
To God, how do you go watch a football game like that and be like, yep, I can't wait to get hyped for this. For 7 of my home games a year.
Well, after you're taking out
Michael Irvin and say, look how juicy these guys are for the U, man.
Also, after you're taken out on the town for a night of extracurriculars, you're immediately handed a duffel bag of more cash than you've ever seen in your life.
But what you were getting at, and specifically for that Stanford game, because their season was completely intact at that point, I was so frustrated watching that game and seeing the empty stadium because for the longest time, all we've heard Miami fans talk about is, we're back. This program is back. We're going to be one of the best programs in the country. Just you wait. Mario Cristobal going to get us back. And he finally does, finally gets you undefeated halfway through the season. Looks like maybe you have a national title contender, and y'all don't show up for the team? Y'all don't even back up your own talk by at least going to the games? It's ridiculous. It made me so frustrated. Have no right to complain about where your team is ranked right now when you don't even care enough to go sit in the stands and watch them.
And it's going to be even worse this weekend.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, we can sit here and say all we want about them right now in terms of a negative with regards to their fan base because they damn sure ain't in this chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're Albert.
And we had them. We had them. The first 3 weeks, boy, were they up in here pounding their chest, man. Ain't to be seen now.
Yeah, do not see them in the chat anymore.
And I guarantee you ain't going to see them this weekend. No. And I'm going to take a peek to confirm.
Yeah, another game I'm taking a peek on, and this team is on my automatic take a peek throughout the rest of this season. It's Notre Dame. Just because of what they did last year, of how they lost an inexplicable game to an unranked opponent, I think every now and then we have to check in on Notre Dame's like, hey, you're still beating that unranked team? Okay, good. Just taking a peek, just making sure you're handling business, because that's all they have to do to be a college football playoff team. But if we look in, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Navy's up by a score, or this is a close game? We might have to start having talks about Notre Dame, but they're definitely worth taking a peek right now.
I got two Big Ten teams that I'm taking a peek at this weekend, and they're playing two really bad Big Ten teams. USC versus Northwestern, Washington versus Wisconsin. Mm. The main reason why I want to pay attention to these two teams, or at least check in on them, see how they're doing, is because both of these teams play Oregon, and we've talked about Oregon this week of you cannot lose either of these games moving forward. Like, you cannot lose a game on the remainder of your schedule. Just want to get a gauge at, like, where those two teams are going to be at heading into their matchups against Oregon. I know it's late in the year and you are who you are, so really, like, nothing's going to change from this game and the time that they play Oregon. But really just so paying attention, like, man, if this is a beat-up squad by the time they go into Oregon and they had to beat, like, if Washington had to beat Wisconsin by 3 points, might be turning the heat down just a little bit on Washington's chances against Oregon, things like that.
Mm. Oh, man.
What?
Todd McShay must listen to the show.
Oh, he gave the Lenore's take.
He did.
He gave the Lenore's take.
Theft. Thievery.
And then you know what else he did? Well,
went
I think
viral it, for it.
I think his was geared in a different direction. He also tweeted that Miami's getting ready to throw a bag at a quarterback. So I think his is, okay, who could they be trying to throw a bag at to, like, say, hey, one, return, like Carson Beck did, come back for another year, like Cam Moore did. Lenore Sellers definitely fits this description. So his, I think, is more geared towards who could they sway to come back who's really talented, who they would want to throw a bag at. Ours was geared in a different direction of, Lenore, please save your career. Please do something. Like, can't finish it out there. We want to make sure that you succeed.
I like the take of theft of take.
You know, hey.
Boys.
Benefit of the doubt, you know.
On Friday night, the squares, I mean the squares, are going to be paying attention to Northwestern USC. The real playoff action is going to be Tulane and Memphis. You hear me right now? Mm. That's the one I'm going to be taking a peek at on Friday night. Both of them kick off at 9 o'clock.
I just realized, you call me a square?
No.
I said I was taking a peek at that game.
I mean, you are a square, but you're going to be with me, so I'm going to make sure you're doing it right.
I'll bring my own screen.
Okay.
Ooh.
Nah, you're gonna be watching Tulane in Memphis. Which, by the way, again, we got another guy coming up in the chat. Silverfield has not taken that Arkansas job. Those are Tulane burner accounts, which might have won the internet today. Tulane burner accounts making people think Silverfield has taken that job. I don't think Silverfield is he's up for these jobs according to Brent McMurphy's gambling odds at BetGM. Has not taken it yet. Okay? I got some more. I got three more. Y'all out?
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay.
I've got one more.
Okay. What you peeking at?
Well, you go ahead and you've got three.
Okay,
got
okay.
One.
Let's teeter-totter here.
There we go.
If Texas Tech is really 11 points better than the second best team in that conference in the form of BYU, we got to talk about them, like, for real, for real. For real, for real. We also got to talk about how Kenny Dillingham and Arizona State were robbed of a playoff team because Sam Levitt couldn't stay healthy.
I don't know about that one.
That's a take.
I don't know about that one.
I mean, they were the only football team to summit enough to smack Texas Tech at home. And then Texas Tech going to go on lambasting in the rest of the conference, Jonathan.
Yeah, but we can't use
transit. I know Sam Levitt and Arizona State struggled the first 3 weeks up out of the blocks, even before he got hurt.
Yeah, we can't use transitive property there. I mean, that team lost to Mississippi State.
Hey.
I say that because
we don't speak for us. I can use the transitive property however I see fit to best agree with my arguing points.
Sure.
I will allow you to do as much.
Well, I'm not going to.
The only reason why I say that is because even when Sam Levitt was healthy, it was 3-point win over Baylor, 3-point win over TCU. Oh. Then they get drilled by Utah because I had Jeff Sims in. So, yes, when Levitt was healthy, they did beat Texas Tech, but I think they were kind of – like, they lost to Houston Levitt.
This is how I know he and I disagree. Did you let an audible ugh when he mentioned a TCU loss?
No, not the TCU loss.
They beat TCU.
The 3-point Baylor win.
Oh. You ugh that one?
Not very good win. That team got ran through by Auburn.
Sawyer Robinson and the Big Mother Chucker offense.
They could get you on any
day. That's what I'm saying. Right? Very gettable.
But they made Auburn's offense look like they were about to be unstoppable.
Yeah, well, Auburn's offense, the moment they got done, you know how many texts? Y'all were with me, I think, weren't you? Wasn't that a Friday night football game?
Mm-hmm.
Auburn-Baylor?
Mm-hmm.
Someone was with me. I was getting text messages from like 5 or 6 coaches in the league saying, that ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought that was going to happen, like consistently be successful.
And they were right, but Baylor certainly made it look like,
but
oh!
Baylor also was the first one to have to wear it.
Oh,
you know
I
what
agree.
I mean?
Yeah,
have to defend it.
I know.
And then after that, it was like, all right, the bag's out. They're going quarterback Jet Reed us 12 times today.
We're getting bogged down. Arizona State's not a playoff team.
No, they're not. But I'm saying, I think they got robbed of a potential 2B1 because Levitt was not.
They certainly could have pushed and made it interesting potentially.
I'll be taking a peek at whoever James Madison hires next.
Hmm.
Because I think old Bob Chesney is going to get himself a job.
Related to Kenny Chesney?
No, unfortunately not. But that Kenny Chesney catalog full of bangers.
Mm-hmm.
So much so he had his own Sirius XM radio station.
Still does to this day.
Still does? They're still around, huh?
Oh, yeah. No Shoes Radio? Come on, man.
You sound like an expert.
Daily listener.
Damn.
Are you guys serious?
But here's the real deal. I just can't hide money.
Free trial, all right? Free trial.
Oh, okay.
Free trial.
Okay. Here's why I'm taking a peek, okay? Now, not every coach that leaves James Madison is a success,
mm-hmm.
but every coach at James Madison is a success and is leaving.
Hmm.
The last three of them, Mike Houston was there 4 years, took the job at East Carolina for 5, ultimately just got fired. All right, first year under their new head coach out there. Kirk Cignetti was obviously there, went to Indiana, huge success,
yep.
Right? Bob Chesney, not related to Kenny, I don't believe, but up for big-time jobs soon. If he doesn't leave this year, he will probably leave soon. They've won 19 games over their first 23 starts under Chesney. So big-time football coaching producing program. Mm. And maybe it's just one of those automatic pick and stick, that program wins. So maybe if you're Buster Faulkner, you take that job.
Yeah, that seems like a little too
far
down
of a
step.
Buster
right?
Faulkner could get a better head coaching job.
I mean, but what is a better head coaching job right now in terms of if I'm going to – if the path for Buster is take a mid-major job, then you get a Power 4 job. That's what I'm presenting to you.
I think there's enough.
So you have to maybe look at Tulane, USF, if they leave, and then maybe James – I'm just saying this one spits them out. It seems for the last 12 years – mm-hmm. At James Madison, you will win.
Yeah. It's fair argument.
So there's that. The last thing I'm taking a peek at. What does Bama look like after a week off? And having just got done being able to take a breath from that insane stretch.
This isn't a taking a peek game, though. This is a mainstream
game.
This
is you're watching this game. This
surely we're not going to be just checking in like, oh, Bama LSU one score game right now. Good thing we have Hawaii on right now.
Hey, you know I love my fighting bows, Jonathan.
Oh, they're going to be the late night slot?
Who they got this week?
I could tell you in 2 seconds.
They had San Jose State last week, and I think the Spartans
San Diego State.
Ooh.
At home.
Ooh. The Aztecs?
Mm-hmm.
We got the Aztecs and the Rainbow Warriors going at it?
Yeah.
Buddy, must watch television. Who needs the second half of the Alabama-LSU game? You know what I mean? Guys, we have already made our predictions at this point in the week. Let's circle back on these and see if you've changed your mind, thoughts, comments, concerns, opinions on these football games. Let's start out there in Cuomo with Texas A&M and Missouri. 3:30 kick. I like Texas A&M by a couple of scores. And the only thing that creates any type of concern is Mizzou's pass rush. My question, though, ultimately about this football game, not really an analysis point, just a hot take. I think this might be the most aesthetically unpleasing football game that we have all year.
Aesthetic from the type of game?
I mean,
or
buddy,
the jerseys?
From the type of game that Missouri is going to try to make it, the type of jersey combinations that we got going on, the fact that half of the time that we watch this football game, most of the TV screen is going to be consumed by a construction site. This will be the most unaesthetically pleasing football game we watch all year. Close second, Missouri Vandy a week ago.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
2 weeks ago.
As far as this game goes, I feel rather confident that Texas A&M is going to win, but I'm not going to be so high on rating the prediction because I do think that Missouri has shown the ability to play good enough defense to keep these games close. And maybe like late in the game, they get one of those weird bounces that goes their way and they're able to pull this game out. So I'm going to put it at like a 3.1 in favor of Texas A&M, a 3.1 out of 5. The remaining balance in favor of Missouri's defense just potentially having a dominating game.
Yeah, I feel pretty sound that Missouri doesn't have the tools necessarily to win this game. They'll make things interesting. I had Texas A&M winning it. I feel fairly confident that I've got it at 2.5.
Mm. I had it at 3.79 on A&M's side. I think I want to bump that up to about 4.2. LSU, the Tigers, going on the road to Alabama to place the Crimson Tide inside Bryant-Denny Stadium on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. I think Alabama is a team on a mission, and LSU is a team with players on side quests.
Yeah, yeah. This pretty much sums it up right there.
Yep. I think it's tight early and a lay down the cards in the second half. You guys play spades?
Every now and then.
No, I was more of a rummy guy.
You guys ever play pitch?
Mm-mm.
Hmm. Okay, so in both of those card games, when everybody knows somebody's got a dominant hand, you just lay them bitches down. You just lay them down. This is going to be a lay them down third and fourth quarter. Hey, we put up a good fight. Go lay it down. You know what I mean? That's what it's going to be in the second half. Doesn't surprise me neither of you played spades. No offense.
Fair enough. I'm fairly confident that Bama is going to win this game. LSU, like, no matter how great LSU's defense has been, and they're going to be without Whit Weeks, I believe, again this week, and that seems to be hindering this defense.
1-3 without Whit Weeks.
Yeah, so he's been a very crucial player for them and a very crucial absence as well. So without him this weekend, I like Alabama even more. The offensive liability that LSU has been so far this year, there's just no way I think they're going to be able to score enough points and keep Ty Simpson in that wide receiver room out of the end zone enough to where they could pull off this upset on the road. I'm going to put this one at like a 4.2 in favor of Bama.
Yeah, LSU winning this game is going to require Alabama's offense turning the ball over and basically at their own red zone every time for LSU to score enough points to win. I don't really see that happening. I have this at a 4.5.
You know who's a real sicko that might need to go to a meeting sometime soon? The person that's drinking Evan Williams eggnog. That person needs to go to a meeting. Woo! I'm telling you.
Evan
Green
Williams,
label too, brother.
Evan Williams' peach is clutch, though. Give that.
Oregon on the road to play the Hawkeyes this weekend, 3:30 p.m. Hey, the kids are safe, boys. The kids are safe, and you know why? Because Kirk Herbstreit had the audacity to say that Iowa is going to win this football game.
Really?
Yep. Wow. Went on Pat McAfee and said not only is Iowa going to win because it's a November game at Iowa, but had this game been at night, automatic Iowa Hawkeye win. Automatic Hawkeye win. I'm telling you right now, 4.99 out of 5 confidence, we get a big grit from Dan Lanning postgame in this one.
We got to hold him to this, though. When it comes to Saturday, College Game Day is doing the predictions, he better pick Iowa, all right? We can't be doing side quest predictions where I'm not going to say it on national television the day of all the games, but I'll go on the sideshow and say, oh, yeah, Iowa.
Honest to God, I'm just glad the kids are safe.
Yeah.
That is a good thing.
I keep going back and forth with this game because Oregon is the better team. Oregon is certainly the more balanced team in this one. And usually that's the way I would lean pretty heavily in these types of matchups. But Iowa's really well. They do it better than anybody because it's named after Iowa. I mean, they just, for some reason, you know, they just find a way where the defense is like, yep, you're scoring 17 points today. We'll figure out offense eventually, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we discover it. I have no idea.
Iowa. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The first time Iowa discovers offense will be like the first time Caveman figured out fire. Like, ooh,
points. Game changer. Oh, my gosh.
Offense.
Oh, we can score points, too.
But
me make big offense.
I said Oregon would win. I think I'm going to rate it at like – I'd go a 3.4, honestly.
Yeah, I've got Oregon at a 3.5 here. There's always that scenario, like you said, Jay Will, of Iowa-ing this thing up. Iowa is the Tom Brady of Iowa-ing, so there's that. But I don't think that this is the game to do it. I think that – Oregon, having lost that one game to Indiana, is going to be on high alert for the remainder of the season. They're not coasting. They're going to come in and look for a win in this game.
BYU at Texas Tech. Shame on Big Noon kickoff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They should make this big 11 a.m. local kickoff.
But this isn't Big Noon kickoff.
This isn't Fox. This is ESPN.
This is Big 12.
I know, but they have a Fox deal as well. They split it between ESPN and Fox, if I'm not
mistaken. I just figured Big Noon kickoff was designated for Big Ten. Like that
could
name.
Be correct.
That name.
That could
it.
Be correct.
I don't know. But yeah,
so
screw them.
Who shot blame
screw
for this?
For
who shot blame for this top 10 noon kick?
I don't know.
11 a.m.
But I'm
local
mad at somebody.
Lubbock. 11 a.m. local in Lubbock. Who should I blame for that one? Who's
I don't
getting
know.
It? Mm. You know, I got community noted for the first time ever yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, because I was going viral for hating on ESPN and YouTube TV because all my homies hate the Gold Diggers. And it was basically, the community note was, this is Disney's fault, not ESPN, or not YouTube TV. This is ESPN's fault, or this is Disney's fault.
Well, that's basically the same thing.
Both of you money hungry, and I'm tired of it.
Everybody, you know what? This is who we're mad at. We're mad. It's all because it took away the tortillas.
Oh,
if the tortillas were still in play, this would be a night game.
This is why I love Kalani Sitake. Because even he, if you don't know who that is, he's the 8-0 head football coach at BYU. He's on pace to win 10 games for the fourth time in 7 years. Kalani Sitake even said this. This is a crying shame that they don't let him throw the tortillas out on the field anymore.
So we took Texas Tech swag out, and now it can't be a night game. It's got to be a noon game.
They still got the bell ringer, Jonathan.
Oh, my God. The bell ringer is amazing.
Whoa. Let me see how that looked.
I don't think you.
Meanwhile, mean. I think this is a kind of a toss-up matchup. This has potential to be one of the games of the week. It's already being labeled as that, but it could be one of the closer ones. I've got this at a 1.5 in Texas Tech's favor right now.
Ooh. I have changed my feeling on this game a little bit, but I'm going to save that for final thoughts. So I said that Texas Tech was going to win this game. It is the least confident that I am in this game of all these games that we're rating. I'm going to put this as a confidence meter of a 1.8 in favor of Texas Tech. But I do have some feelings that have changed about this matchup.
I picked BYU with the points, but Texas Tech outright. The more and more I watch film, the more and more I think about this football game, the more and more I want to pick BYU outright. Give me BYU outright. 0.01 out of 5.
0.01.
Real firm on that prediction. By the way, don't think that clip's not going to live in infamy forever. That one was not my best. I mean, honestly, good impersonation.
Pretty accurate.
Accurate. And the side-by-side's really going to save me from any corporate lashings there.
It's one of the more iconic college football clips ever, for sure.
For sure.
It's the best. Smile on your face, ringing that thing.
Oh, dude, he was getting after
the
it.
The one he's like, oh.
He's doing what now?
Have you not seen that one?
He got another one
we
going
We played
viral?
It on the show.
Yeah.
You said the one smile. I've only seen the one.
Which one are you thinking of? The older clip or the newer
clip?
The
older clip.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a newer one where the guy's like smiling at the camera doing it.
Oh, no.
The older one is way better.
The older one is way better. The older one, that guy has no idea what's about to happen to him in terms of the virality of that.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it again.
That one might have taken a few years to take off, though. I mean, I don't know how big social media was at that point in time.
Yeah. No, he probably had no idea. That's
that might have been a 5-year blossom of like, whoa.
That's no different than the redheaded ball boy for Florida State.
Oh, for sure.
Like that guy had no idea. Yeah, Red Lightning. Had no idea what was going down until later on.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
You watching him?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to the bell ringer. The show is off the rails already. It's a Thursday, baby. Lock in, dog. Lock in, dog. You thought it was crazy. How about unless it doesn't happen?
Shall we go.
Shall we break it off? Let's do it. Boys, I was all over my UConn Huskies this offseason.
Weren't you all over this offseason?
This man loved everyone. This guy drafted like 17 teams in college football this year and said they're all his.
They're mine. They were my UConn Huskies.
And none of them have done – by the way, none of them have done well.
Bro's batting
shut up.
Like 180.
They're 6-3, and they're about to be 7-3 because the home field Huskies hammer the Devils in Hartford. UConn splatters Duke inside Pratt and Whitney Stadium. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen.
Duke, also one of Brooks' teams.
Yeah, playoff Dukies. Playoff Duke Blue Devils. Way too much Darian Minson stock. Still holding it, though. Guys got a chance. Guys got a chance to be Jordan Love, who I constantly want to call Bryce Love.
I mentioned it earlier about the injury report out there for Kentucky versus Florida, but I'm specifically talking about the Florida Gators. 4 starting wide receivers out, already kind of lacking offense right now, even with those guys healthy. It's kind of been a struggle. DJ Lagway, not the most accurate, consistent quarterback. So I am going to propose something to you, Billy Gonzalez.
A toast?
I think that this is the right way. I think this is how you should run offense. In fact, Kentucky once ran offense for an entire game like this, was relatively successful. Jaden Baugh in the Wildcat the entire 4 quarters. Give him 45 carries, and let's see what happens.
Let's see if
you can make a win happen. It's going to happen. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen.
Little Wild Baugh action.
Yes.
We love Baugh.
A little Lynn Bowden shout-out,
if
you will.
We love Baugh.
Hmm. All right.
A little Randall Cobb shout is what I thought you were going with right there.
Let's go ahead and start swinging here.
Oh, that was like a 7-game stretch when Lyndon Bowdle had to like become a quarterback.
Yeah, it was like the final 5 games. It was like, well,
about? I think he went 3-2.
He won a bowl game.
Yeah.
That's how they ran offense against Georgia in that Yuck Fest game.
Drafted by the Raiders, by the way.
Oh, how'd that work out?
Not good.
Oh.
How does it usually work out? Anywho, there's a team.
Brock Bowers, though, dude. You'll be all right.
Yeah, he needs to have a good game.
Certified ball knowers.
One of the top teams in college football is playing on Saturday in a game that virtually no one has talked about. It is a game that has a rich amount of history in college football lore. One of the most famous fan engagement and win for that fan moments in college football history. See, the look on my host's face right now tell me that they don't even know which game I'm referring to, which shows you just how slept on this game is. But sleep no more, because the Purdue Boilermakers are going to hand the number 1 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes their first loss, and it will be done in Indiana. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen.
I'm trying to think what I'll do if that happens. What will you do, Jonathan?
Well, I was about to say this. I think this is the biggest point spread of the entire weekend.
It's got to be, what, 47?
I think it's 40.
Yeah. Word?
I think it's like 39.
Oh, yeah, it's got 42.
You just gotta believe. You just
it.
Gotta believe.
Let me
guys.
Check.
You don't believe that.
It's 30.5.
You don't believe that at all.
I believe it. I wouldn't have just given such a fiery take if I didn't.
Good on you, dude. Good on you.
Have we humiliated Hugh Freeze enough?
Never.
No.
Never.
Okay. Just making sure. Just making sure. DJ Durkin? More like DJ Duncan on the Doors. All right, how about Auburn with an offensive explosion on the head top of the Vanderbilt Commodores? Auburn rolls this weekend. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen.
Let me get in on some of this action, because I also have that.
Come on.
The Auburn Tigers are taking down the Vanderbilt Commodores this Saturday, and DJ Durkin is their new head coach. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't
happen.
There
you go.
That's how you do it, unless
it doesn't happen. Now we're talking.
I got to write this one out. Give me 1 second.
Jay, well, you got one?
Do I have one? Yes, I have one.
DJ DKAK. If you know, you know.
We have teams fighting for playoff spots at this very moment. Late in the season, just a few weeks left. You got to take it now or you can kiss it goodbye. We have an all-time playoff matchup happening this weekend. It's not even in the main slot. Nobody's talking about it. I think there's more people talking about Ohio State versus Purdue now than there are this game.
Oh, come on.
So let me go ahead and tell you, there's going to be a team that is putting a firm grasp on a playoff spot, a team that is on the outside looking in, and they're an underdog. Navy taking down Notre Dame.
Yes.
The 7-1 Navy midshipmen taking down Notre Dame, kicking them out of the playoff. They plant their flag. They're going to the playoffs. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen.
Wow. It is a playoff battle.
It's a 28.5 point spread.
It is a playoff battle.
It's a 28.5 point spread, boys.
Cool.
Sayonara, Notre Dame. Firmly grasped.
Hey, random note here. Random note. I know this is a national hour, but random note. Have y'all seen what Jerry Mack's doing at Kennesaw State?
Yeah, they're winning games.
13-12 against Wake Forest. Got their brains beat in by Indiana. They've gone 6-0 in conference at Kennesaw State. Now, this was like a middling 500 program that was running the triple, trying to go from FCS to FBS, making the transition. They fire Brian Bohannon. To the question of a lot of people, myself included, when they fired Brian Bohannon, I was like, I don't know about that. That's like out of nowhere. And the way that they did it drew a lot of ugly, ugly tweets and comments and questions about what's going on at Kennesaw State. This guy, who had never had no head coaching experience prior to this, was a running backs coach in the NFL and had some experience as a position coach and an OC in college football. This guy's won 6 straight football games. And by the way, not like eking them out, like randomly winning games. This dude's like on the verge of winning a conference. And it's broken a lot of things for me in terms of like immediate success, but also rebuilding from a triple.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding from a triple option into a random or a standard modern offense is one of the hardest things in coaching I've ever thought to do. Because I've not only gone through it, but I watched it happen at Georgia Tech. And it was just not, it was not easy. This guy's done it in 1 year. I just wanted to, I know it's a very like goofy segment we do here every Thursday, but this guy deserves flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I deserve the right to kind of point at myself and go, hey buddy, you didn't know what you were talking about in February, which by the way, it was that late into the process. They fired Brian Bohannon in like January, February. And so this happening, good football coach,
mm-hmm.
good football team, good football program, should be good.
It's a shame they don't get to be rewarded with a bowl game at the end of this season.
Yeah, because of the moving up.
Got to give. I think it's 5 years, is it?
I don't know if it's that long. I hope not.
Kirby?
This is a different, unless it doesn't happen. This isn't game related. This isn't score related, play related, outcome related. We've kind of made jokes and you know, alluded to this being a talking point during the season or during this week. The Oregon Ducks are going to travel to Iowa to face the Hawkeyes this Saturday. And Kinnick Stadium is known for a tradition where after the first quarter, everyone in the stadium, including the Iowa fans, it's after the first quarter. After one of the quarters. I'm pretty sure it's the first, but for safety's sake, we'll say one of the quarters. The fans all turn to the Children's Hospital and wave, and we've kind of made jokes that, like, boy, I hope Dan Lanning and Oregon don't do anything with this, and they, you know, play it nicely. I'm here to say the Oregon Ducks will also participate in the Kinnick wave. You heard it here first, unless it doesn't happen, because Dan Lanning is a psychopath, but he's not a monster.
Good guy Dan Lanning take.
Known good
we
guy.
Love that.
Dan Lanning's a psychopath, but he's not a monster?
Yeah.
What a great way to sign off on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look through my DMs right quick. Do you have any more?
I do. I was going to wait on this one because I know that one of these is on your slate, but I was going to take some of the action and double it.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off instead.
Please do.
Just when you think you know what's going to happen, college football always finds a way to flip things back upside down and back into chaos.
Yes, please.
I think there's a conference that certainly can be labeled as this. One where it's like, oh, well, we know the teams that are in contention. It seems like we know which teams are going to be going to a conference championship right now. We have a good idea of who likely is going to be representing this conference in a playoff this year. Well, I think it all gets turned to crap, and you gotta restart on your playoff brackets because Louisville going down, Virginia going down as well.
What?
Unexpected loss this week for both of them. It's open back up, ladies and gentlemen. The ACC open for business.
I mean, I don't play a lot of poker, But I'm sitting over here ace king suited in the form of Virginia going down, Demon Deacons deconstructing the Cavs' dreams right here, ace king suited. Little I know, you sitting over there holding pocket rockets?
Mm-hmm.
What you doing on me?
I told you. I gave you a warning. I tried. I tried
Damn.
To let you know.
Aaron Murray distracting me mid-show.
Oh, at least it's good people distracting you.
God, I don't want no smoke, though.
No.
We've been talking a lot of Badger football tonight.
Mm.
All Lukey Fickell needed was just a vote of confidence. That's all.
Uh-oh.
All he needed was the AD to say, you know what? I believe in you, man. 10.5-point dogs on the road, or at home, rather, against the Huskies, Washington style. I might be pro UConn Huskies, but I'm down on the UW. Give me Wisconsin. Just an absolute stroke. Give me Wisconsin. Badgers roll. You heard it here first.
That could be. Hey, I just need the brass to believe.
I hope this happens just for the fact that you have to clip that and post it.
Yeah.
Give me the Wisconsin.
Sounded like the Tasmanian Devil.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Or Nate Frazier running the ball. Yeah. One or the other. I'm good. Y'all good?
Yeah, that's all I've got for unless Whew. It doesn't happen.
Man. Yeah. Oh, boys, we do it every single week. If you're watching us on upload right about now and you're not watching our live shows, you should, all right? We're live Monday through Thursday, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock here on the network. We got week 11 final thoughts for you guys tonight. Starting out there in Lubbock, 11 a.m. local kick. I'm very, very confused and perplexed by this Vegas gambling line, to be honest with you. I do not think Texas Tech is almost 11 points better than this BYU football team. I believe in this BYU football team for one simple fact. I think they've got the better quarterback. I think they have a freshman quarterback that is better than the veteran on the other side. However, Texas Tech is the better all-around football team, as would the roster acquisitions portray.
I mentioned that I had some feelings changed about this game, and exactly what I mean by this is I think BYU and Texas Tech have a potential advantage in this game. I think Texas Tech has a potential advantage with the pace that they play with on offense. I think BYU has an advantage with the physicality that they play with and being a bigger roster than Texas Tech is. And with that being said, I don't think that you're going to see a balancing of powers in this one where, like, one quarter, it's going to be the physicality that dominates. And the next one, it's going to be the pace. And, like, they just kind of flip-flop. I think it's going to be one of these advantages is just going to dominate and take advantage of it and control this game for the entirety of it. And because of that, I think whoever comes out on top of this game is going to do so in dominant fashion. If Texas Tech's pace on offense is the one that prevails, I think it's just going to be a 20-point win or something along the lines of that. If BYU is just more physical and they play harder than Texas Tech does this weekend, I think you're going to see them win a game in the fashion of 31-17. It'll feel dominant, maybe 14 points, but it'll feel dominant. That's how I feel about this game.
Yeah, I kind of second both what you guys have said as far as the game goes. I think the way that we need to go into this game is this game will determine whether or not the Big 12 gets two teams in the college football playoff or one.
Mm.
Because I don't really see an avenue for BYU getting in. Obviously, they are undefeated, and they are sitting very well. If Texas Tech wins this game, I think BYU is more likely to fall off. Obviously, if BYU wins this game, Texas Tech's probably going to be out because they already have a loss on their hands. So this will be a game that determines whether you get two or one in.
I do want to push back. They have a very solid chance to rematch in the Big 12 championship.
They do.
Absolutely. And
so there's that.
That's why I did also want to add on this of, you know, we usually clown on teams that are good at just keeping it close. Like, we laugh when Mark Stoops does a backdoor cover against any team in the SEC.
Win.
We laugh at Nebraska when it's like, oh, another one-score loss for the Huskers out there. That's just them, though. BYU, that is your job this weekend. Like, no matter what, you can lose this game. You have earned the right to have wiggle room here because you are undefeated up to this point. So you've earned the right to where you could lose this game and still be in position to hold a college football playoff spot, but you have to keep it close because the last thing you could do is have a 20-point loss to Texas Tech and then double down in the conference championship game.
We just talked about a game that I don't necessarily understand what Vegas is seeing. I don't necessarily know what Vegas is seeing with this Indiana-Penn State football game either. The last 2 years of Indiana Hoosier football goes one of two ways with regards to outcome of football games. It's tight for four quarters against a really good opponent, or they blow the doors off of whoever they are favored to beat. 14.5 points is not a average margin of victory for Indiana against games in games like this. If Indiana wins this game, they're going to roll, in my opinion. And that's what I would be paying attention to in this football game.
And it's weird because we know what the offense is with Penn State right now, but defensively it hasn't been great either. Like, usually what you can count on for Penn State is no matter what, they're going to be really good defensively, one of the best in the conference. Hasn't exactly been
them. Jim Knowles, in his defense, he got really complicated defense, and it takes 3 years to be good at it, which is kind of malpractice,
yeah.
If you ask me. For but, sure. Hey, highest paid defensive coordinator in the sport, so what do I know? What do you got for me?
Yeah, I think that moving on to this Oregon-Iowa game, I never would have thought that at this point in the season we would be talking about, hey, Oregon's kind of in a do-or-die situation here, and 10-2 still will get into playoffs. There will be a lot of 10-2 teams in the playoffs this year. I don't know if Oregon's one of them, especially if the losses are to Iowa and Indiana. There's not enough meat on this bone for them. There's not enough quality wins on their schedule. Now, Washington and USC down the road might help them out a bit, but the fact that they are the lowest ranked one loss team in the Power Four, not inside the ACC right now, tells me that the committee does not think very highly of them, and a loss would put them in a bad situation.
So that leads me to how does Oregon find a way to win this football game? In my opinion, it's being patient. Like, stop, don't go in there hunting death blows. Like, don't go in there hunting kill shots.
Right.
They are a defense in Iowa that will allow you to methodically move the football if you're patient and disciplined enough to do so. But if you're out here trying to hunt kill shots all the time, you're gonna be in inefficient downs over and over again. Second and 11 will not win today, all right, against Iowa. All right, so you got to be very, very efficient, living in positive downs, being willing to be disciplined. It's almost akin to what, this is gonna sound silly, but the lessons that they had to teach Pat Mahomes when he got really, really hot and teams started playing too high against him and just making him walk, and he would ultimately turn the football over because he was trying to drive it down the field. Can't be doing that this weekend. Got to be patient and got to be willing to play a body blow style of football against Iowa because you're better than them. So just stand in front of them and body blow them for four quarters. You'll knock them out.
Yeah, I think that Iowa's, like, it's not just because that their defense is really good, but it's like you talk about being patient, but it's weird to kind of gauge how you want to play these guys, because do you want to try and ramp up the pace, but in doing so you might put yourself in some sticky situations where, oh, we just crapped out on two straight drives, went three and out quickly because we were trying to ramp up the pace, and now we're giving the ball back right to them and they're chewing clock despite only running six plays on the entire possession. Like, you get put in these tough situations against them on top of them pinning you down at the 10-yard line.
I know we got a local hour to talk about this game, but I wanted to get this into these final thoughts as well. Time of possession that Georgia-Mississippi State game is huge.
Yeah.
If Mississippi State stacks multiple three and outs in a row, they're going to get walked up off the field. So you got to be very, very careful about that one in that football game as well. I want to move on to Texas A&M at Missouri. My question going into this football game, it's not really even a final thought. It's more of a final question going into this one. It's just how comfortable could Eli Drinkwitz and that staff get Matt Zoller's over this last 10 or 11 practices going into this football game? Gets thrown into the mix against Vandy. Tough situation. I thought he handled himself pretty admirably in that football game on the road. You got a home game, had 10 days to be the guy and prepare as the guy. How do you go out and handle your first start as a big-time prospect? Very curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, and I think that's also going to revolve on the pieces around you making things easier. And we talk about complimentary football a lot. Can the defense put you in winning situations? Does the run game give you enough to where you might not necessarily feel like, oh man, this is my first start and I have to win this game. I have to beat the top five team. It's on my shoulders. It's going to really depend on how comfortable Matt Zollers is, will be a catalyst as to how well this team around him plays.
I don't want to classify Matt Zollers as this type of football player, but I do think that you're not going to get the full picture on him in this game, or really probably for the remainder of the season, because he, just watching the few snaps that he played a couple weeks ago, he seems like the type of quarterback that wants to lay it all on the line every single Saturday. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. I don't think he's going to be kind of limited in that regard of maybe the flash plays that we try and create, because we can't get killed in the backfield because we have nobody else that can play quarterback. So kind of paying attention to that.
It's interesting you say that, because that was what he was labeled, gunslinger, Brett Favre, right, type of recruit coming out of high school. I'm glad you picked that up on his play style, because that's exactly how he's been labeled, particularly as a risk taker with the football and with his body. Can't be doing that, though. You're it. This is all we got left. We're going to be out here Syracusing it moving forward, which brings me to my next point. Mario Cristobal, if you find a way to lose to Olaxpro, they will fire your ass, and they should. I don't care how many jobs are open. I don't care if we have good candidates left. It does not matter. If you lose to a Lax, bro, as a 28.5-point favorite at home, as a Miami head football coach, you got to go. So watch out. That's all I'm saying. That's my final thought on that one. Like, good Lord, dude. Vandy having to prepare for a real coordinator this week is something to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
A real offensive coordinator that is not just going to RPO, and maybe they do. Maybe they line up and play the same offense. Maybe Derek Nix is a Hugh Freeze clone. I highly doubt it. It's not only in this football game that we don't know what the opposing coordinator is or what he's going to be. We don't know what Derek Nix is going to call if we're Vandy's defensive coordinator. It's not only that. It's also the fact that we absolutely, for a fact, kind of knew what Hugh Freeze was, right? So that dichotomy of we have a complete unknown and we had a guy that had terrible tendencies as a play caller, something I'm paying attention to in that football game.
I don't think that the Alabama program or Alabama fans need to be told this, but I'm going to do it anyways because I think it's worth throwing out there of please don't get fooled by these last three games, these last three conference games, I should say. Oklahoma, you're very well aware of. They're a ranked team. You've had that one circled. They got you last year. Like, you're going to be well prepared for that one. But don't just sleep against LSU and think that you can do so against Auburn, two really good defensive teams that can make things really interesting against you rather quickly. And for who knows, might hand you a second loss. Like, don't do that again this year. Don't have one of these games pop up on you, Kalen DeBoer. Like, just close out the season. Just be a closer.
I've got 2 points, and I think we can close the national hour on this, about this football game that make me believe it's not going to be that one, Jonathan. It's not going to be LSU upsetting this football team. It is such a good specific matchup for Alabama. What does Alabama's offense struggle with? They struggle with speed rush, and they struggle with consistently running the football. We looked it up today. LSU 51st against the run, so right in the middle of the pack. That's bottom end in terms of SEC defenses. 64th in the country in sacks. They're not really getting after the quarterback, and they're doing it with a push-the-pocket method, all right? And 110th in TFLs. Those stats right there tell me they are not, and the film, tell me they are not LSU standard great on the defensive line. All right, what does Alabama's defense struggle with? They struggle with consistently stopping the run. They're great in pass defense. LSU does not have a running game on the offensive side of the football. This is such a good stylistic matchup for this Alabama football team. They should handle business, and I think they will this weekend.
I think so, too.
All right, we have a whole another hour coming up.
Super Chubbs.
Let's get to it. We got some good ones. I saw a sneak in there a little bit earlier. Let's get to these Super Chubbs before we get to a loaded local hour. Let's go to the top one from Flying Hawaiian. Thoughts on Josh Pate hinting that Lincoln Riley might be moving on from USC to one of these openings? We kind of hit on this earlier in the show. Kirby about gave me a brain aneurysm with a metaphor. I am one to believe that that is a direct link to LSU or the NFL. That is a direct link to I'm trying to get out of USC. That's very weird to me because I think they have that thing finally kind of moving upward. But I would imagine he's tired of going to home games with 30,000 people in a 90,000-seat stadium. Nick on Fire 1490 says LSU was also open when he left for Oklahoma for USC. So he thought USC was a better program than LSU at the time. That's a great point.
That was
from Nick.
That was the point you were making.
Oh, that's why my brain short circuited. Why didn't you say it like Nick? Why didn't you say LSU was also open?
All right, I was just using a metaphor.
You got to know I'm a dum-dum. Dumb down for me.
Yeah, I know.
We got to go basic levels. Alan Berry says, hey, Brooks, I'm an Alabama fan and concerned that LSU might get the, quote, interim bump. How much different will LSU be going into this game? We kind of just talked about this, but I'll recycle a take from last night. 53 players from this LSU roster from the state of Louisiana. Frank Wilson, their interim head football coach. A Louisiana native from Baton Rouge. Okay, like this is a Louisiana pride moment for this roster. And I think there's a potential that they didn't necessarily love their football coach in the form of Brian Kelly. It's very different than the way I feel about Florida's roster. I felt like Florida was going to bat for Billy Napier. I felt like LSU's roster was kind of laying down for Brian Kelly towards the end of that regime. So we'll see what it looks like this weekend. Ultimately, I think you've got a tremendous matchup. Hunter Moss says, shout out to my little cousin Garrett. His high school, Gunnersville, Alabama, has their first round playoff game tonight. Also, Jay Will, if your eggnog is still gross, it means you didn't put enough alcohol in it. Hot take, If you just need to, I'm just drinking this because I'm getting hammered, probably not tasty.
Yeah, just
you know, I don't drink anymore, but I don't understand this this notion of people making fun of dudes for drinking things that taste good. Like when I was drinking, you couldn't give me shit up off nothing like drinking a Shirley Temple or something that is quote unquote girly. Bro, it tastes good and I'm getting hammered. Why don't you shut up?
Yeah, just give me the booze. I don't need the eggnog. Just give me the whiskey.
Yeah, just shoot the whiskey.
I don't need all the other stuff.
Hunter Moss says KSU is such an underrated weeknight game. Hootie-hoo! Let's go to the local hour. And you know what, Jonathan? Do it to him.